All right, if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Mark. So Mark chapter 14. I actually replaced the battery on the laptop this week because it went bad. It had been going bad for a while, so I had to keep Sunday school under 45 minutes. But now, let's see, I have 4 hours and 54 minutes. So that joke's only funny if I don't go that long. So, all right, Mark chapter 14. It says in verse 32, "And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Then rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given him a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same as he, take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master. And he kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from the naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for letting us open your word now and the privilege to learn from you. I pray that you would open all of our eyes as we look into the scriptures. Teach us, Lord, and help us to become more like you so that we can serve you better and live for you. I do pray that you would bless the study of your word. Open our hearts and our minds. Please bless in all this day. Help it to be dedicated to you. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we'd all agree that sleep and rest are very needful. We need to feel rested. We need to be rested to live successful and just normal lives. It's really important to get sleep. And God himself set that example. When he created the earth, the seventh day he rested, teaching us that we should work six days and rest one day. But is it possible to get too much sleep? Is too much sleep a possibility? I looked this up and it actually can be very detrimental to your health. There's a lot of sources that say this. Harvard Medical is one, and it reports that excessive sleep, or 9 hours or more, can lead to a 23% higher risk of stroke. Also, for people who take daily naps, midday naps of over an hour and a half, the stroke risk increased by 25%. In addition to this, those who take those 90-minute naps every day and more than 9 hours at night have an 85% higher stroke risk. And there are other things that can be associated with that, getting too much sleep. Now, we do need sleep, but too much can be actually very dangerous. But the most dangerous sleep is spiritual sleep, when we're spiritually insensitive. Romans tells us that we are supposed to be dead to sin, but alive unto God. Not even just asleep, but dead to sin. That is hard, though, because our old nature isn't dead. It's just as alive, unfortunately, as our spiritual nature. And it's hard for us to live for the Lord. It's hard for us to be spiritually awake. But we must be awake. Our lesson title this morning is While the Saints Slept. While the Saints Slept. And we're going to look at some things that happened while the saints, while these disciples were sleeping. You've probably heard it said that the devil never takes a vacation. I don't know if that's true. The Bible never says that. And he's not immortal or omnipotent like God by any means. He needs rest. I don't know if that's true, but certainly a lot of times he's more active than Christians are. And he's more active in promoting himself, promoting sin. But we've got to change that. And this morning we're going to look at what the saints were doing, which was not good, what Jesus was doing, and what Satan was doing. So first, while the saints slept, Christ prayed. You can't pray when you're asleep. I think we all know that. That's a scientific fact. When your subconscious is at rest, you can't focus on prayer. You're not ready for spiritual battle. In fact, you're in a very vulnerable position when you're asleep. In slaughterhouses, animals are either put to sleep or rendered senseless by either injections or bolts of electricity so that they don't feel anything when they're killed. The same thing can happen to Christians. They can become sleepy and sensitive, and they can have their faith slowly be destroyed. These animals are completely unresistant to the knife, and when we're spiritually sleepy, Satan will have the victory in our lives. So while the disciples were praying, Jesus was praying. Now in verse 32, he urged them to pray. It says, "Sit ye here while I shall pray." And then we see later that he commanded them in verse 38, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." Jesus commanded them to pray. He was going to pray. And think of this, they had the opportunity to pray with Jesus, to pray the very same time he was in this pivotal moment in human history. But yet the disciples ended up sleeping. They weren't praying. They weren't sitting. They were lying down. He didn't say, "Lie down, ye here. Recline, ye here." He said, "Sit, ye here." Be in a position that you're not going to fall asleep. You're going to be paying attention. You're going to be praying. But instead, they're passed out asleep. Jesus commands them to pray. And then he goes a little bit further past his inner circle, his three disciples. And he begins to give further prayer and praying to his Father in heaven. It says in verse 35, "He went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him." It says, he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but whatsoever or what thou wilt." Jesus, this shows once again that he's fully man and fully God. He felt the physical suffering. He saw the physical suffering that was coming, but yet he had the spiritual power as God to take on that spiritual, that physical suffering and take away our sins. He said in verse 36, "All things are possible unto thee. Let this cup pass from me." He said, "Father, all things are possible." And that's true. God could have taken away that cup of wrath against Jesus, but that also would have taken away any chance we could be saved. And that was completely against God's loving nature and Jesus as God. It was contrary to his nature. His whole purpose in coming to this earth was to draw us to himself so that we could be saved. And so Jesus, even though he prayed, if it's possible, he knew it was not, and he accepted that cup of God's wrath against sin. God can do anything, but he can't be unloving. And in taking away that cup of wrath, taking away our chance at salvation, he would have taken away his love for us, and that can never happen. But Jesus prays. Once again, he's praying. This is God praying, setting the example for us. We need to be prepared. We need to be praying. We need to be close to the Lord and have that conversation with him often. It's firsthand, first-person communication with God. We can talk person to person with God, our Savior. We can talk to him just like anyone else. Prayer is the only way to prepare for a situation. James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or a righteous person availeth much." Jesus was praying. He was preparing, but the disciples weren't. Again, he tells them to pray for their sakes. Verse 38 says, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit is ready, but the flesh is weak." Jesus wasn't talking about his flesh. His flesh wasn't weak. He was perfect. Saying, your flesh is weak. You can be led into temptation. He said, you can sin. So pray, watch and pray. Jesus was telling them to pray for their own sakes. But even his inner circle, his most intimate disciples, were passed out asleep. It's easy to laugh at them even and say, wow, you know, how quickly they disobeyed God's command. But yet, think if we were in that same situation. I mean, these guys had been with Jesus for the last 3 years, heard all of his messages, heard all of his commands, and yet they were sleeping. And again, this isn't included in Scripture to tear into Peter, James, and John. The Lord doesn't love to heap guilt upon us. At this point, this has already happened. John Mark is writing this. This isn't to shame Peter and John or James. This is to warn us, because we can be just as sleepy and we can be just as spiritually dead as Peter, James, and John were. They completely disobeyed God's command. And once again, this command is for us. And so Jesus comes to Peter, the one who's supposed to be leading them in prayer. He's leading in the snoozing. And he says, verse 37, "Simon, sleepest thou? Are you asleep? Couldn't you watch just 1 hour? Simon, what are you doing? I told you to pray." Now, this was sin. Anytime we disobey God's command, it's sin. And because they were sleeping instead of praying like God said, they were sinning. He says, "Simon, why are you sleeping? Don't you remember my command just a little while ago?" He said, "Couldn't you watch 1 hour? Couldn't you pray 1 hour?" Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to pray. I hope you all have tried to pray an hour, but it is not easy. Sometimes it's really hard to just sit down, focus, keep your mind focused for an entire hour without wandering to anything else and just pray. It is hard. It is really hard. And Jesus said, the spirit is ready. Their hearts may have been ready, but the flesh is weak. Their carnal man didn't want to pray. Their carnal man was trying to get them to succumb to sleep. The fact is, if they wouldn't do it when Jesus commanded, they couldn't do it, and we couldn't do it, even if Jesus told us to, because we're relying on our own strength, and the disciples were relying on themselves. Now again, Jesus commands them to watch and pray, and then he goes again and prays again. He says in verse 39, "Again he went away and prayed and spake the same words." Jesus prays the very same thing. He's saying, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering pass from me." But again, Jesus would not accept that if it meant us not receiving salvation or the opportunity to be saved. Once again, he's praying for the suffering to be taken away. And we can't imagine the suffering even of Jesus. Even if any of us as people went through Jesus' sufferings, we still couldn't imagine it. Because the weight of the sin that was upon him, the sin of all the world. And think of this, the fact that Jesus never experienced pain or anything like that before. He was in heaven, it was perfect. Just feeling the aches and pains of living on this earth in and of itself, that would have been painful for Jesus. But then multiply that times the cross, the scourging, the weight of the sin of all the world, the sin of all time upon him. We can't imagine. And so it's no wonder Jesus was praying. Jesus was preparing for this. Once again, he was God, but he was also fully man. And Jesus comes back again and finds them sleeping. In verse 40, it says, he found them asleep again. It says, for their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer them. It's implied he asked them a question, why are you sleeping? It says they didn't know what to answer them. It says in the parentheses, for their eyes were heavy. They were sleeping because they were tired. We would kind of assume that. But the fact is, there's emphasis here that Jesus expects us to pray even when we're tired. He expects us to pray even when we don't feel like it. Now, I looked and looked and searched for the commands that Jesus gave his disciples to pray. Now, there aren't that many in the Gospels because Jesus was almost always with the disciples. So they could just ask him. They didn't have to necessarily pray. But none of these times that Jesus commands them to pray, is it like a happy, fluffy, you know, friendly situation? A lot of the times these were actually very difficult. He commanded them to pray for their enemies in Matthew 5:44. For when they tried to cast out a demon, he said, "This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting," Matthew 17. He commanded them to pray even at midnight, even at hard times in Luke 11. And he commanded them to pray for laborers in Matthew 9. Now, praying consistently for laborers isn't easy. Praying for intense spiritual persecution or strength through it, praying at midnight, that's even harder. And in our strength, praying for our enemies is impossible. Again, none of these times is it easy to pray. And Jesus wasn't giving them a free pass. "Oh, you don't have to pray. I understand. You're tired." He expected them still to pray. That's why he commanded them. He knew that they were tired. But once again, Jesus is about to go through this intense period of suffering. The disciples' faith was going to be tested. But because they hadn't prayed, they weren't prepared. And so Jesus, once again, they have nothing to answer them. "I don't know, we're tired." And so then he goes away again to pray. And it says that he cometh the third time in verse 41, saith unto them, "Sleep on now." He gave them the command to pray, but now he gives them the command to sleep. Say, just sleep on. Now that's a scary command. You aren't doing anything, you aren't praying, you're tired. I commanded you to pray, you wouldn't pray, now just sleep. Just sleep. Continue in your spiritual slumber. And we don't want to hear that command to us. While the saints slept, Christ was praying. Christ prayed. Second, while the saints slept, the coward pounced. Now, Satan is no mighty warrior, and we see this in this passage more than anything. He likes to portray himself as this superhero, whatever kind of person, but he's not. He's a coward who likes to hide in the shadows, who likes to attack the weak, because the weak are the only ones he can attack. Those who are strong in their faith, serving the Lord, Satan can't attack them. He can't attack them and get the victory over them. Satan is a coward. And while the saints were sleeping, Satan was at work. He was working through Judas Iscariot. While these disciples were asleep, Satan was working through Judas to gather this band of men, the chief priests, all of these people to come with swords and with staffs to come and capture because they wanted to kill the Savior of the world. All this while the saints were sleeping. And when saints sleep, Satan has no one on earth to oppose him, no one at all. Prayer is our power, and if we have no prayer, we have no power. Now, we know the end of the story here. We know that Jesus' plan was to give his life for the world. But put yourself in the disciples' shoes right here. In their minds, what are they thinking when they're awake? Because we were sleeping, we've allowed God to get captured. Maybe if we were awake, we could have defended him. We could have protected him. Again, they've completely forgotten his command and his instruction that he was going to die and that he was going to rise again. They've forgotten all that. And so imagine the guilt, the pain they're feeling right now as Jesus is approached by Judas and his band of men. Now we know that Jesus is alive. He lives forevermore. In a few weeks we'll celebrate Easter. There was nothing Judas and these men, there was nothing Satan could do to kill Jesus if Jesus did not allow them to. There was nothing they could do at all to keep him from rising again. But when Jesus was praying, the saints were sleeping. But Satan was preparing, and the coward was about to pounce. And so Judas comes, it says in verse 44, "He that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, take him and lead him away safely." It says, "And soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him." Jesus did not need the disciples' prayer, but he wanted these disciples to pray for themselves so that they would be prepared for the situation. But now the disciples, they haven't been praying, they've been sleeping, And now Jesus is captured, and they have no idea what's going on. Peter, once again, the one who should have been leading in prayer, begins to lead in foolishness. He draws his sword and just starts swinging and cuts off the high priest's servant's ear. And Jesus, again, in mercy, heals the servant. But Peter, he wasn't spiritually minded. You know, he's dreamy-eyed, he's sleepy-headed. So are the rest of the disciples. They're not prepared for what was about to happen. Prayer is so powerful, and we can't comprehend how powerful having that direct connection with God is. I read this story, and it's a true story. There's a missionary in Africa, and a man came up to him after he had been there a while and said, "Hey, when you got here, there was a band of us who were going to come, and we're going to attack your camp." And he said, "When we got there, though, we were confronted by 26 armed guards." And he said, "Immediately, we had to run off, we had to run away." And the missionary thought, he's like, "Well, I was alone. There was nobody else here." And he said, then he got a letter a few months later from one of his pastor friends and said, "Hey, I just wanted you to know we gathered, I gathered 25 men with me, and we prayed together on a Sunday night, said, prayed specifically for you, and just wanted to know you're in our prayers." And said, then he knew who those 26 armed guards were. Those were the prayer warriors. The Lord was standing for his people. And he was standing with them, and he always will when we pray and when we ask for his help. We'll never be able to understand how strong prayer can be, but we'll also be completely helpless without it. If we're not relying on God, we won't be able to do much. And once again, Peter, he tries something, but it doesn't work. And last of all, when the saints slept, or because the saints slept, the champions panicked. And once again, that's with sarcasm. Because just a few verses earlier, it says in verse 31, it says, "He spake the more vehemently," this is Peter, "If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any way, in any wise." It says, "Likewise also said they all." Now they thought they were, you know, Jesus' champions. They thought, you know, anything that happened to Jesus, we'll stand with him. He doesn't have to worry. But then you have all the saints forsaking him in verse 50. They all forsook him and fled. They weren't praying when Jesus told them to, and so they weren't standing when Jesus expected them to. They were running away in panic. It's interesting, and then you have in verse 51, many believe this is John Mark because he's not named. It says, "There followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young men laid hold on him. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked." It's interesting in the original text here, the same word here for linen cloth is the same one that refers to Jesus' grave clothes later. And it's just interesting that he wasn't willing to stand with Jesus, wasn't willing to stand the shame, and so he wasn't worthy to be counted worthy of Christ's death. He wouldn't go to death with Jesus, so he wasn't worthy to wear the garment that Jesus wore when he was dead, when he was laid in the tomb. Very interesting. Jesus was naked before the world, but yet he still took our sin upon him. But yet this man, Mark, wasn't willing to stand with him. And once again, this was very hard. And before we start throwing stones, we should think about whether we would have as well. And again, later, Peter denies the Lord three times in front of a servant girl, in front of another servant, just as Jesus said. That's interesting. John Mark was very close friends. John Mark, the one who wrote the book of Mark, was very close friends with Peter. And no doubt when he was penning this, when the Holy Spirit was inspiring him, Peter, as he looked at this, just must have been reminded of everything that the Lord went through and must have just been ashamed for not standing for him. But once again, if we're not prayed up and our light persecutions that we endure, we won't be ready to stand either. So the champions, Jesus' champions, were panicking. Now again, they weren't sleeping willingly. They were sleeping through ignorance. They weren't choosing to disobey God. You have other people in the Bible who were. You have Jonah, who purposely ran from God, was sleeping in the bottom of the boat. Maybe you're asleep spiritually, but willfully. Now if you're afraid of God's will, you've got to accept it. You have the story of the 10 virgins at the wedding, and how they prepared for the bridegroom. Some prepared oil, some didn't. But yet, while the bridegroom tarried, while he didn't come right away when they were planning, it says they all slept. They all slept. Again, that wasn't willingly, but sometimes we can be the same ones. You have Samson who slept, and because he slept in the wrong place with the wrong person, well, he was going to be destroyed spiritually and eventually physically. Think of David, like these disciples rising from sleep when he went out on the rooftop and saw Bathsheba, and then he committed sin with her. Imagine if when he was tempted or just thought about going out on the roof, if he had just sat down and written a psalm, or if he had just sat down and started to praise the Lord and pray to the Lord. I'm convinced many prayers that we have to pray in confession would be prevented if we would just pray and praise God ahead of time. We wouldn't fall into as many sins. We wouldn't have to pray as many prayers of repentance. But yet, if we're not prayed up, we're going to panic when the time comes to stand for the Lord. When the time comes for our faith to be tested and proved, we've got to ask ourselves and look at our hearts and see, would we be ready to stand? Would we be willing, or would we be panicking and fleeing, just weak targets for Satan to pounce on? 1 Thessalonians 5, 5-8 says, "Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation." Satan, he pounced in the night. The Bible says in Luke 22:53, "This is your hour." Jesus speaking to those people who had come out against him. Once again, Satan's a coward. We're not of the night. We are of the day. We're not to be sleeping. We're to be watchful. We're to be praying. Let us who are of the day be sober and watch and pray. The challenge for this morning is not to be sleepy saints. We've got to wake up, because while the saints are sleeping, Satan is still on the move. We need rest. This is not to say we should cut short our physical rest, but spiritually we should never be asleep. We should always be alert and watchful. He is always ready to attack our lives, our families, and our country. And all the while he's preparing to pounce. Are we sleeping? Are we drowsy? Satan can accomplish a whole lot while the saints are asleep, while they aren't praying. So don't sleep. Don't be slothful. Those who sleep, sleep in the night. Satan's children sleep. They're dead to spiritual things. We're not. We're to be alert, alive, and ready to serve the Lord. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your word. Lord, I do pray that you would help us to be watchful. Lord, you pray for us. You've said that, and you pray along with our prayers. I pray that we would be praying those prayers, Lord. You give our prayers to the Father. You hold all our tears in your bottle, Lord. I pray that we would be willing and ready to stand for you, to stand even through simple things like prayer. Lord, Daniel faced death for praying. Lord, how many of us would pray if it meant facing death? Lord, I know that would be a challenge for me. I pray, Lord, that we would stand. Help us not to be sleepy. Help us to be alert, ready to fight for you. Effectual prayers work much, Lord. And when two or three agree on earth as anything, you are there and you will answer. Lord, thank you that we can call unto you and you will answer us and show us great and mighty things in our own lives, in our families, in our country. I pray that you would do that. Please help us to stand for you, Lord. Help us to do what's right. Help us to love you. And once again, Lord, we thank you for suffering for us, for dying for us. Thank you for rising again. Thank you for not passing on the cup of suffering. Thank you for taking it so that we could be saved. Thank you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.